Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You can follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369, the place to do that. Drop all your voicemails and all of your text messages there. I'm going to be doing that today. I know we normally do this on Wednesday, but dropping a late Friday episode for you guys. Going to answer some of your text messages and a voicemail as well. So we got plenty to do on the show today. Matt is out for the weekend, so I am solo by myself today, but I'm going to take your questions again. 331-979-1369, the place to hit us up. Creeping closer and closer to actual basketball happening here in the NBA, but we do have basketball this weekend. I don't know if you're interested in the FIBA World Cup at all, but FIBA World Cup is happening this weekend, kicks off. No more exhibition games. This is for the real thing. So the United States faces off against the Czech Republic here in the United States. Starts at 8:30 Eastern time on Sunday morning. So you can check that out. Thomas Adaransky playing in that game as well as Team USA. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, Team USA absolutely clobbered Canada a few days ago. Canada, really the only notable name on that team is Corey Joseph. But they did take the loss to Australia, which we did talk about late last week. So it'll be interesting to see what Team USA is going to be able to do over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, weird timing for anybody here in the U.S. that's going to be trying to watch these games. So definitely DVR those games, or you can catch a stream after the game's over. But let's get to your questions. Again, 331-979-1369. Save that number in your phone as Locked On Bulls. Or you can hit us up on Twitter, too. We'll answer questions there as well. Let's get to the first text message here. This one comes from the 815. It says, "Hey guys, I have a hypothetical situation. Let's say we still have Chris Dunn close to the trade deadline and the team is between the 7th and the 9th seeds. He's a big reason for the team's defensive improvements and he's absolutely killing second units. Overall, he's playing really well. Would you still trade him?" This is a good question because I don't think a lot of Bulls fans have really thought about the idea that Chris Dunn comes back and has actually a pretty solid season. Like, if he looks the way he did in the first year that he was here, at December stretch, that January stretch as well, where he actually looked like the point guard we were hoping to get in the trade, and then he went down, Warriors game, the concussion, hitting his face on the United Center floor, kind of derailed the rest of his season, and then off to a terrible start in 2018-2019. He had the knee problem, was out 4 or 5 weeks, and he just lingered with all of these different issues injury-wise, so he wasn't able to get consistent playing time. But I feel like a lot of Bulls fans have ripped Chris Dunn off completely and kind of understand that just from the words of John Paxson and Gar Foreman and the moves that they made this summer. Kind of makes a lot of sense. But I think it's a good question to ask. The biggest thing I start to think about is Chris Dunn is a free agent this summer. So what the Bulls could do if they hold on to him, say he is playing good and the Bulls decide to keep him, they're going to have a situation next summer where they're going to have to decide what they want to do with him. He's making $5.3 million this season coming up. He has a qualifying offer for about a little over $7 million this summer. So if the Bulls offer him the qualifying offer and he declines it, decides, you know what, I'm going to test the free agent market, at least he'll still be a restricted free agent. So the Bulls can match any offer that he'd get from any other team. Now, the Bulls don't offer him the qualifying offer or do and then rescind the qualifying offer, he'd become an unrestricted free agent. I think this is kind of critical for the Bulls. This is kind of a similar situation they were in with Bobby Portis last year. What do you he denied the contract early on before the season even started. The Bulls offered him a lot of money, went all the way to the trade deadline, is like, are we really going to sign Bobby and how much is he going to be worth? Bulls ultimately decided to trade him. Same thing with Jabari Parker, eliminated any idea of them having to deal with negotiations and going into unrestricted free agency or restricted free agency and any and all of that. So I think the biggest question here is, are the Bulls willing to spend the money to keep Chris Dunn around if he actually turns it around this season? I would say from a Bulls perspective, probably not. That's why I think that they're going to allow him to have as much playing time as he can in the first few months of this season and try to trade him somewhere for something, because I don't really see the Bulls spending a decent chunk of money on Chris Dunn to keep him around long term, especially if things don't go well for Chris Dunn. So my answer to this question is, more than likely probably see him moved if the Bulls are going to get something good for him. But at the same time, if they're still competing for a playoff spot and he's playing well and he's part of the reason why the Bulls are playing well and winning games, what are you doing? Because then if you take it all the way there, say you make the playoffs and Chris Dunn was a part of making the playoffs, and then you go into the summer and say, you know what, we're not going to spend the amount of money he's going to want to sign somewhere, and he ends up walking for nothing. You know, we play this game all the time with a lot of these free agents. We did it with Nico Mirotic. Thankfully, the Bulls got something for him. They did it with Pau Gasol, too, when they should have traded him, ended up keeping him, then he walked for nothing. So this has happened to the Bulls a handful of times. So I'm curious to see what the Bulls decide to do with him, the deadline. And this is a good question, too. What happens if he does play well? Then the Bulls are in a weird situation, because if they trade him off, and then what happens if you go on a losing streak? Then you're out of the playoffs, and part of the reason was because you dealt Chris Dunn. I think best case scenario here is Chris Dunn plays decent, Kobe White plays decent, Thomas Adoransky plays decent. So even if you do decide to trade Chris Dunn, you still have the option to put Kobe White and give him kind of a promotion, I guess, in the middle of the season to be a part of that main staple of that second unit. And don't forget, too, you still have Ryan Arcidiacono and Shaq Harrison, too. So you do have a plethora of point guards, and it really, I don't see Chris Dunn making a whole big difference in whether the Bulls make the playoffs or not. That's just my opinion, but if he plays decent, could be a win-win for the Bulls as well. They could get somebody, they could get a pick, future pick in return. They could maybe get a veteran for him, something like that that could help the Bulls either somewhat in the future or beyond. All right, let's go to the next question. From the 219, hey guys, Matt from Indy. Do you guys think in a perfect situation where Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine are all-stars this upcoming season that the Bulls could be under 500? This is a really good question. Take the semantics aside from it, take the sideshow of the Bulls hosting the All-Star game this year, take that out of account for right this second. Let's just take a look at what All-Stars from last year were on teams that were under 500 going into the All-Star game. I was curious about this. I figured probably what, five or six of them were, maybe not near as many as that, maybe just two or three. 33% of the All-Stars were on teams that were below 500 before the All-Star game last year. 9 out of the 27 guys named to the All-Star team were on teams below 500. So is there a chance? Definitely. Let's take a look at who those guys were, though. LeBron, first of all. Lakers were 28-29. Bradley Beal, the Wizards were 24-34 at the time. Anthony Davis, the Pelicans were 26-33 at the time. Dwayne Wade, the Heat were 26-30. Karl Anthony Towns, Timberwolves, 27-30. Kemba Walker, Hornets, 27-30. Blake Griffin, 26-30 on the Pistons. Dirk Nowitzki, the Mavericks, 26-31. Nikola Vucevic, Magic, 27-32. even if you remove Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki, because they got kind of the honorary all-star name because it was their final year, they were walking away. Still, seven out of 25 guys named to the all-star teams were on teams under 500. Now, it gets interesting. Look at the records, though. The Wizards were by far the worst team with an all-star selection in Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal at the time, well, I should say, yeah, at the time, Bradley Beal was averaging 25.1 points per game, 5.4 assists per game, and 5.1 rebounds per game. Zach LaVine was pretty close at the time. I think he was averaging about 21 or 22 a game with about 4-4. So he was averaging 22, 4-4. He could catch guys like Bradley Beal, maybe. If him and Lauri Markkanen are playing at an all-star type of level, does it make you think that the Bulls would play under 500? I feel like if anything, they would be close. They would be something like the Lakers hanging around right around 500. If they were below 500 and those guys are playing at all-star levels, it means that a lot of the other guys around them got hurt. It was up to those two guys to be the main scorers on this team. Otto Porter misses significant time. Thaddeus Young misses significant time. Thomas Adoransky, Kobe White, Wendell Carter Jr. Asking these other guys, these young role players, to step up and be a part of the team, kind of like they did last year. I mean, think about the amount of guys that had to step into roles that I don't think that they were quite ready for. Maybe Brian Archidiakono, Shaq Harrison, Chandler Hutchison, Wendell Carter Jr. All of those guys stepped into situations where they were kind of past the torch because of injury, and we're like, go out there and show us what you can do. So to me, I think if the Bulls are under 500, they're either still somewhat competitive, teams playing pretty decent, and they're somewhere around 500. They're 28-29 or 29-28, or they're only two or three games back. It would have to be pretty extreme to be at a Wizards level like Bradley Beal got voted. To be 24-34, you have to be playing pretty damn well and have nobody else around you. So those are the two situations I think that the Bulls could be in where they're under 500, but they have two guys named to the all-star team. A lot of injuries, and those two dudes are still playing really, really well. Or they're hanging right around 500, a game, two games under. So it's not, and we're talking right at the all-star break, so they could turn it around by the end of the season, be over 500, which some of these teams were that were going into the all-star break under 500. Think about the Detroit Pistons, for one, with Blake Griffin's nomination. So things like that can happen. I think that there's going to be a little bit more pull, too, and I hope it's not more pressure for any of these guys with the all-star game being here in Chicago this year. Hope it's not extra pressure on either Markkanen or Porter or LaVine to feel like that they need to take it to another level and it take away from overall what the Bulls are trying to do just to get into the All-Star game. I know it's something Zach LaVine desperately, desperately wants. I think if he continues to play the way he did last year, and now with all the help around him as well, it would be a pretty safe bet to say Zach LaVine could be an All-Star this year. I mean, he got a ton of votes from the fan vote. He was inside the top 10 last year. And remember, it's part fan vote, part media vote, part player vote. So we'll see. But it definitely is a possibility if your team is under 500 that you can have all-stars named to the roster. 33% last year. A third of the guys were on under 500 teams. So good question. It'll be interesting. I think if the Bulls stay healthy, it should be over 500 if those two guys are being named to the all-star team. Be a whole hell of a lot of fun too. Zach LaVine and Lowry in the United Center as all-stars. I'm not going to get myself all worked up though. Patience, temper our expectations, be pleasantly surprised. Thanks for the text. Let's move to 630, staying on that all-star type of topic. It says, hey, this is Imad. What are Otto Porter's chances of being an all-star this season? I'd say they should be about equal to Zach LaVine. Let me know what you guys think. This is one I don't think we talk about as much, and we should. You and I know what Otto Porter looks like and what he could potentially be for this Bulls team throughout a full season. We saw it in the 15 games he played with this Bulls team. Now, again, he's not going to have a true shooting percentage of like 76.2 and be knocking down threes at almost a 60% clip. Like, that's a little unrealistic, but could he shoot 39, 40% from three and have a true shooting percentage over 50%? I think that's definitely possible. You add the defensive factor into it too. I think he could be kind of a dark horse. Now, will he get enough shots? Will he get enough looks? Will he get enough attention to kind of conjure up all of that all-star type of hype? That's hard for me to understand. I think that's where Zach LaVine kind of beats him out. Zach LaVine has the publicity. He's got the kind of the face of the organization right now. Still, Otto Porter is somewhat relatively the new guy in town. So I think if anything, Zach LaVine has the public perception side that he should be an all-star just because he's flying out of the gym. He won a dunk contest before. He's doing all of those things to make him more seen than Otto Porter is. And that's not a good or a bad thing. It's just something that you have to take into account when people are making their votes for the all-star game. Now, if he's lighting it up and scoring over 20 points a game, he's doing 26-6, something like that. Obviously, people are going to pay attention to Otto, but that's where I kind of wonder, what's going to happen? How many guys are going to get touches? Who's getting the most touches and who's scoring the most? Because I know things didn't work out well for Otto when he was third fiddle with the Wizards. And playing with John Wall and Bradley Beal is a lot different than playing with youngsters like Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. But again, I think those are going to be your two main scorers in this offense. And that leaves Otto Porter as a third option in scoring. But I think that there is a level where he could compete to, you could consider it be three guys that are your main scoring options. So I don't know if it's all that likely, but it's something that I think should be monitored if he's going to play well like he did in the 15 games he did with the Bulls to start. So we'll see, but just getting one guy in, I think, is the biggest deal. Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Otto Porter, Wendell Carter, don't care who it is, get somebody in the game because it is here in Chicago. And again, I don't want to add extra pressure to these guys or any of us add any extra pressure to these guys, but it's true. Like, if the Bulls are hosting the All-Star game and it comes around to February 2020 and the Bulls don't have a single representative there, it's not a great look, and it's not a good thing for this rebuild either. Matt and I talked about this multiple times. Getting these guys to All-Star weekend, and I don't care who it is, Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen being there the first year for the Rising Stars game. Last year, Lauri Markkanen being there. Zach LaVine showing up. All of these guys just being around that weekend, and also two being here in Chicago is going to help out. But we need those guys to be in those circles, having those conversations with those top stars, if we want any chance at using the cap space we're going to have in a couple of years to sign any of those top free agents. Need to network. Need Lauri Markkanen to network. Need Zach LaVine to network. So get one of those guys in. Real quick from the 312, just said, hey, have you guys seen the Fall of the Bulls Dynasty on YouTube by SB Nation? They're very well done and I enjoyed them. It gives the whole timeline of the Jordan era to and now where they are as a team. So this came out, I believe, last year. And yes, we did. I think we did almost a whole episode somewhat. I think maybe it was last summer it came out. We did almost an entire episode just kind of breaking it down, talking about the fall of the Jordan dynasty. And I think, I can't remember, maybe it was Casey Johnson who we had on and we asked him a bunch of questions about that time with the Tim Floyd era and all of that going on and just the disaster that was after that final championship. Definitely recommend it. I'll go ahead and retweet it and I'll share it again on our Twitter at Locked On Bulls. So you guys, so those who haven't watched it, I think it's about 15 or 20 minutes long, but it is definitely worth the watch. And I encourage younger fans too, who don't remember that era, don't remember how things ended, to go watch it as well. It's informative and it's awesome. It's awesome to kind of relive that. And I know awesome is probably not the right word. It's good information to kind of relive if you've been through that, you remember that part, and it's good education for those who weren't around or don't remember that at that time. So definitely go watch that. It's The End of the Bulls Dynasty by SB Nation. I'll tweet it out again at Locked On Bulls, but thanks for the heads up. All right, I got two favorite UC memories, and then I've got a voicemail to wrap up as well. Just want to remind you guys, with the NFL season starting, go check out Locked On Bears. Locked On Bears is your source for Chicago Bears information, analysis, the best guests, and also pre- and post-game breakdowns. Lauren Cox does a great job there at Locked On Bears, so go hit him up. Go subscribe if you are a Chicago Bears fan, or if you're a fan of a team anywhere around the country. Every team is represented by the Locked On Podcast Network, so go subscribe to your favorite show right now. They're 5 days a week as well, just like us, and the NFL season starting. No better time to subscribe than now. So the Locked On Podcast Network's NFL channel, as well as Locked On Bears, will not support the Locked On Packers, although you should subscribe to the show. All right, let's hit up to the favorite UC memories. This one's from the 630. It says, hey guys, I know I'm a little late, but my favorite United memory has to be the playoff series against the Bucks back in like 2015. Jimmy Butler out of a timeout with the best poster I've ever seen over Zaza Pachulia.
Championship medal this year. By the way, it's been 29 years on this day. Ooh. Butler goes strong. Jimmy Butler and a foul. Right out of the timeout, Jimmy Butler attacks the rim.
This is Imano, isolation play for Jimmy Butler. Shake, one bounce, and attack the rim.
This is an all-timer. This is actually a really, really great memory. That's awesome that you were in person to see that too. This comes back in 2015. He is right. 2015. This was the opening round series. It was against the Milwaukee Bucks before they changed their whole logos and their style, and they were wearing those weird green and red and white uniforms. Kind of, they updated them now with the colors and all of that, but it was before that. It was a weird time for the Milwaukee Bucks. But before I get into the highlight, I'm just looking over the rosters of this series. And OJ Mayo is on this roster for the Bucks. It was Chris Middleton and Michael Carter-Williams and Giannis, but all of these guys super, super young. Giannis was only 20 years old. Chris Middleton, 23. Carter-Williams, 23 as well. So definitely a strange Milwaukee Bucks team. But the Bulls ended up winning this series 4-2. Bulls went up 3-0 in this series before they went to Milwaukee, went to Milwaukee, won game three, lost game four to Milwaukee, came back home, lost game five to Milwaukee, and then game six, they closed it out. So definitely awesome. Jimmy Butler finished with 31 in this game. So this entire series, though, Jimmy Butler averaged 24.8 points, 5.5 rebounds, 3.8 assists, 2.5 steals, and nearly a block a game. Just absolutely just dominating. He shot 40.5% from three and 47.6% from the field. Derrick Rose chipped in too, 19 points per game, 4.3 rebounds, 6.5 assists. And then Pau Gasol and Joakim Noah were actually absolutely dominant. Pau Gasol averaged a double-double, 16.3 points, 11.8 rebounds. And Joakim Noah was 6.5 points, 11.7 rebounds, 4.3 assists, 1.2 steals, and one block a game. So definitely contributing in his own way as well. It's the very, very last year, though. It's the last year of this entire team before they traded Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah both to the New York Knicks and kind of dissembled. And Pau Gasol, too, just kind of let him walk for free. But this is a great series. Glad that you were there to see it in person. But I had to mention, too, in this series, Joakim Noah finished that game, too, on 420.
Weed.
Because you want to smoke some weed.
It's the weed.
Well, what's the big deal with weed?
With 19 rebounds in a game. Joakim Noah absolutely destroying. So that was a good time, but that dunk just absolutely, absolutely massive. So thanks for sharing.
Championship medal this year. By the way, it's been 29 years on this day. Butler goes strong. Jimmy Butler and a foul. Right out of the timeout, Jimmy Butler attacks the rim.
All right, final UC memory, and then I'll get to the voicemail, and then we'll be out of here for the weekend. Again, 331-979-1369, the place to hit us up with your text messages and your voicemails if you want to chime in with your favorite United Center memory. But this comes from the 312. He gave me three different United Center memories. He said the first one was 2007 playoff sweep against the Miami Heat. It was at the game where the Bulls started chanting "No Cioni" as Andres lit it up. Man, those were fun teams. Ben Gordon and Andres Nocioni, that young Bulls team, especially when they were dominating the Heat. It was a fun rivalry. Now that rivalry's kind of dead. The second one he gave was the Rose Bank three-pointer to beat the Cavs in the playoffs. This is an all-timer, man. And if you were in there in person, that is unbelievable. I'm very, very jealous. That game, to me, I think is probably the single best memory I have of this Bulls, just this entire after-the-dynasty Bulls. That, to me, is one of my favorites. Just Derrick Rose, after everything that had happened to him, coming back in this playoff series, the game-winning three that bangs in against the LeBron James Cavs team to go up 2-1 at the United Center. There's nothing better than that. Then his reaction after it was even better. So my favorite memory, definitely. And Matt and I have gone through our favorite memories, Bulls history before, and this was definitely up there. But this is an all-timer, so that's awesome that you were there in person. And then the last one he said is the one game in the 90s I was able to see Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman to play. Tickets were extremely hard to come by back then. My dad was able to get some in the nosebleeds. Yeah, I can imagine. I can only imagine what ticket prices and the amount that you had to go through just to find somebody that had Bulls season tickets or just had their hands on a single game ticket too. Starting when Jordan got drafted all the way through the end of the dynasty, I can imagine how hard it was to get tickets. Kind of like right now, like now it's pretty easy and pretty accessible thanks to places like SeatGeek and StubHub and all of these online resources where you can sell tickets instantly and you can buy tickets instantly. You're going to pay a premium for them, but at least you have access to that. But like back in the 90s, you didn't really, I mean, you had ticket brokers, I guess. You had to go to like an, this is all foreign to me, but you had to go to like a store where they exclusively sold tickets to all your favorite games and concerts. So kind of crazy, almost like a scalper, but it was like an actual business. And they're still around today and they sell season tickets and sell third-party games and all of that, but nothing like StubHub or SeatGeek or anything like that around now where you can access tickets instantly. Crazy, crazy to me. Thanks for sharing, though. All three of those are really, really great. The Rose Bank, though, I'm with you, man. Like, if that's your second favorite memory, that's my first, and I wasn't even in person for that. So great United Center memories. Keep them coming. Hit us up on Twitter or on our text and voicemail line at 331-979-1369 to drop your own, or at Locked On Bulls on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley and at Bulls_Peck. Let's get to the voicemail before we get out of here for the weekend. This is from the 205.
What's up, guys? I love your show. I've listened to last episode you have. You was talking about the Bulls need an all-star two guard when they were going against the Miami Heat. We had one. Tom Thibodeau dropped the ball. We had Kyle Korver sitting on the bench while he was playing Keith Bogan. But like saying, I truly believe if Kyle Korver was starting, it would have gave us a better opportunity. I know he was tough on defense, but you know what I'm saying? Keith Bogan wasn't. Not like Keith Bogan was shut down the way he weighed anyway. But let me get to my next point. Do you have like a favorite Bull that did succeed on the team that you wish they did? I think mine is Eddie Curry. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. This is so spot on. I keep forgetting Kyle Korver. I didn't forget that he was there, but since he was part of the second unit, he just doesn't stand out as one of those guys that was like, hello, he could play the two. And you make a good point. Kyle Korver's never been a good defender. It was why I was yelling at Matt last season when we were talking about trade value for Kyle Korver, even at the age Kyle Korver is now, just how atrocious he was on defense. But you had that spot up 3-point shooter, and the Bulls kind of wasted it by playing Keith Bogans. Not a big fan of Keith Bogans, but not him personally. I'm sure he's a real nice guy. I'm sure he's real great, but just not a fan of him on the Bulls here. But he brings up another point too, is like, what's your favorite Bull that never worked out or never had any success on this team? If you could go back in time and kind of turn one of those guys and have a successful story, who would it be? He said Eddie Curry. That's a really good choice. I think for a lot of fans around here, they were hoping Eddie Curry turned out. He was like that. Before Derrick Rose was that guy, Eddie Curry kind of was that guy. Coming out of high school, was from around this area, and just things didn't work out. And Eddie Curry now back in the big three, and he's been more than willing to talk to places. I know just in my school district alone, he talked to one of the high schools, to the basketball teams and to athletes too, about his struggles and what happened and the mistakes that he made, hoping that younger kids wouldn't make the same mistake. But it seems like he's doing all right now with the big three. But that's a really good answer, and I think I would go along the same lines in that era as Tyson Chandler. He worked out in the NBA, had a phenomenal career, but didn't work out here in Chicago, and the Bulls got rid of him before his career even peaked. So I think I would have liked to see him turn it, like stay here and have that entire career with the Bulls, because it seems like the Bulls are always chasing that big man that they could never have, with guys like Ben Wallace and signing older Pau Gasol, and you had Joakim Noah, which is fantastic, but the Bulls are always chasing that big man, and I don't know if that's a John Paxson, Gar Foreman kind of thing, if it's Reinsdorf mentality, always got to have a really dominant big man. But Tyson Chandler's one. Jamal Crawford's another one who had a really, really, really great career. And we only got to see a glimpse of it here in Chicago. Trying to think of some other guys. Tyrus Thomas would be another guy. I think for a lot of Bulls fans, that draft was huge. And trading away multi-time all-star LaMarcus Aldridge came out of Texas to draft the high flyer in Tyrus Thomas from LSU. I think a lot of people were disappointed on that. So if he wouldn't be my favorite Bull, but I would have liked to see him reach his actual potential because he was a modern NBA player before the modern NBA actually hit. He was the guy that could defend and play all different positions. Didn't really have a specific position, but could just jump out of the gym. Had a pretty decent shot too in college. So those are probably three of the biggest. Tyson Chandler, Jamal Crawford, Tyrus Thomas. Those are the three I can think of off right off the top of my head. You give me yours, though. I want to hear your guys' opinion. Who is the one Bulls player? Doesn't have to be a drafted player either. And speaking of that, actually, let's go back to another one. Here's honorable mention. Ben Wallace was a guy I absolutely 100% wanted to work out here. Just thinking about that era, I was probably in my early teens at that time. It was like the first massive signing that the Bulls had made post-dynasty. Guy that they were hoping was going to work out, and sure enough, did not. And then they had the whole issues happening with him too. But I was really, really hoping Ben Wallace would have a second career here after all the championships he won in Detroit. Didn't work out. Wish it would have, though. Was a big fan of Ben Wallace when he was with Detroit, but hey, things happen. Bulls wasted a lot of money on Ben Wallace as well, so that was another guy that I could think of. But they don't have to sign here. They don't have to be drafted here. They could have been signed here. So Bulls player that you really wanted to see a lot of success from, and he was one of your favorites, and didn't work out here in Chicago, could be anybody. So you guys let me know your thoughts. Drop your text, 331-979-1369. Your voicemail's there as well. We'll answer that question next week on our mailbag. We'll run through all of your answers as well. But I'm curious to get your answer, and I wonder what Matt thinks, too. I wonder if he's thinking the similar light as me with those four or five guys. So drop your texts, your tweets as well, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. That's going to about do it here for Locked On Bulls, though. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate every one of you listening throughout the offseason. We can finally say somewhat basketball is back with the FIBA World Cup going on this weekend. So watch those games. We'll have some recaps for you guys. If anything insane happens, we'll definitely recap it at the end or at the start of the week next week. Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Bulls, too. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts, we are sure to be there. So if you want to drop us a review, you want to subscribe, please do that so you can get your episodes as soon as they drop. I know sometimes we don't tweet them out, so definitely subscribe. You'll get them on your phone, on your computer, wherever you get your podcasts as soon as they are released. So again, subscribe, rate us too. We appreciate every single one of you who has been listening to us all offseason long. For Matt Peck, for Jordan Malley, we are out of here, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful weekend. Be back and have a great Labor Day weekend as well. For all those out there that are getting a three-day weekend, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com